Think of it simply as the overture or the entrance for world leaders. If they could all be with us today, they would walk into a room and the commonality amongst them would be the concept of freedom and the music of Ted Nash. Good morning, sir. Thank you for joining us today.
Good to be here, Gary.
Unbelievable concept here, as if I didn't think Portrait in Seven Shades was a pretty ambitious project, where Ted, along with the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra, took great artists that you've seen from Van Gogh and Monet and Dali and turned them into musical interpretations. Well, you know what he's done? He has followed that with the Presidential Suite, where he has taken world great speeches from world leaders. And the common thread among those leaders was the right to freedom. And then he's turned them into music.
Yeah.
What, my Lord, what moved you to take on a project like this?
Well, the project is very important to me for many reasons. I think that because my parents, they were such open and wonderful people, and they were very active in the civil rights movement. And just growing up in that time in the 60s, a lot of struggles, and then the kind of open house policy that we had, that just that general idea of striving for rights and freedom has always been with me. And so I use this project really as an opportunity to sort of express my feelings about that by choosing these wonderful speeches that deal with that theme.
And there is a commonality to it. I read from the liner notes done by David Brinkley, just Douglas Brinkley, rather. Gorgeous. And he starts out by saying, speech is a form of art, an expression of human creativity that is appreciated for its beauty or emotional resonance.
Mm.
Well, that's same thing applies to music, doesn't it?
It's so interesting how similar it is. I mean, actually, the voice is much closer. It's a direct outpouring of our soul and of our mind and our heart. And I think when we use music, as we try to get as close to that same outpouring and that same purity from our soul, but we all often have instruments or things that are an extension of ourselves. So it's a little more challenging when we use music to express those things. I think the voice is the most clear way to express ourselves. And I found so much inspiration in all of these speeches. It was very hard for me to narrow it down. But
that was going to be my next question, is how did you... Well, you can eliminate the last few years, but looking at past leaders in some of the speeches, there was a lot of material to go through there, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could just listen to the transcripts of FDR's speeches, I found that the ones that actually gave me goosebumps, or in some cases, like with LBJ's speech to the Special Congress for civil rights and equal rights, voting rights, that speech just brought tears to my eyes. And I later read that it did that to Martin Luther King. So it's like, woo, this is still completely credible, I mean, important and to listen to today. I think that especially in this time, sometimes it'd be great if people could get out and listen to these speeches from these different eras and see what people were dealing with and find the inspiration in them and to continue forward. Because I don't think we're getting the kind of inspiration right now.
We don't seem to be, do we?
Mm.
So it was, imagine when Johnson made that speech in front of the joint, you know, the House, and brought them together. And made that speech. What was going on outside those doors almost required that speech be made, wasn't it?
Right, and I don't think LBJ was extremely popular at that point. I mean, he took over for Kennedy, who was extremely popular, and I think people had a lot of resistance to LBJ, and I think that the speech was something that he did believe and feel, but I think he knew that he had to do that. It was something that had to be done, had to be said, and he came out and, well, he embraced it fully, and that's why the speech is so full of nuance and different... I just find it to be extremely inspiring when I hear it.
excerpts from it. And you got amazing people to join you in this project. Yeah. Like, we're going to hear Sam Waterson read an excerpt from this speech that we're talking about. Was it easy to get people like Sam and Joe Lieberman and Deepak Chopra and Douglas Brinkley and Andrew Young and others?
Well, I think people want to be part of something that is important and that has something to say. And I think that our guests are wonderful and they're great readers and they're great important political figures. But I think that they wanted to be part of something that they felt did express views that they shared and also part of a musical experience. I mean, Sam Waterston, I actually asked to read the original premiere. We had a premiere a couple of years ago, and I asked him to do that. And he wasn't able to do the two nights, but he came for the second night and watched the show. And he came backstage, and he loved it. He brought his family, so he had known the speech. He had known the project already before I asked him to.
Now we're going to listen to this, but first I want you to know what to listen for, folks. As you interpreted excerpts or the speech that Lyndon Johnson gave, which was entitled
The American Promise, it's known as,
yeah,
and I've given it that title. We Shall Overcome is another way people refer to it. The thing about that speech is that just with all the speeches on this record, is that I transcribed them for all of their speech, all of their pitches, all of the intonation and the ups and downs, and I have notebooks full of just notes with words under them just that go on forever, and so you just have this huge canvas, blank canvas of material. Basically, I had to figure out a context in which to put all of these notes. So even though I had thematic material, I really had to figure out how to organize it. And so for the LBJ, I thought about his coming from Texas. I thought about people who played free jazz in the mid-60s, like Ornette Coleman, who's also from Texas. So I created a sort of free jazz, free bop, sort of head out of these pitches. Now, I organized them so I could find some commonality at certain points so I could create chordal structure for it, but that came a little later. So you'll hear it. There's a little tongue-in-cheek sort of reference to Texas in there, and then there's just this strong influence of Ornette Coleman's music to set a context for all this music.
It sounds pretty heady. Enjoy this. You're going to see how Ted put this all together first. Sam Waterston reads an excerpt from Lyndon Johnson's great speech, and then you'll hear the music as well. We're with Ted Nash talking about presidential suite.
I speak tonight for the dignity of man and the destiny of democracy. I urge every member of both parties, Americans of all religions and of all colors, from every section of this country, to join me in that cause. Our mission is at once the oldest and the most basic of this country, to right wrong, to do justice.
Presidential Suite, 8 variations on freedom. Did you hear the connection there? Ted Nash did. And that's apparent on this new recording. It's from Motema, and it's just out. 8 variations on freedom. You heard Sam Waterston reading an excerpt from Lyndon Johnson's speech that he gave to a joint house about, you know, what's going on outside? What's going on, as Marvin Gaye would say. And Lyndon Johnson made a promise. A promise that was kept in large part.
It was. I mean, that specific, thing he was dealing with in that speech. But we have so far to still come, though. I mean, when you really think about it,
yes,
it's
absolutely.
Like we've come a long way, but there's still so much that we can do. And I think just people had a better awareness of that. Right now, we're looking at a lot of entertainment. We're not looking at politics. We're not looking at people dealing with issues. We're fascinated with all the bickering back and forth, and we're entertained by it. But it's kind of depressing because we're not really dealing with the issues. And I think there's my hope with this project is that besides people enjoying the music, which is of course always a big objective for people who are writing music, but I want people to listen to these speeches, these original speeches. Go back and investigate the original speeches and think about what people were dealing with and maybe be inspired by that and look at what's going on now. Maybe there's something that we can do individually or get together as groups or whatever we can to bring about more awareness to issues all around the world. It's not just here in this country.
Just like Barack Obama 8 years ago, jump in the Wayback Machine to 1960, and you have a young man, at that time the youngest ever to become president, in John F. Kennedy, and how he, I mean the word Camelot and all of that, but he did a lot, and how he amassed everyone and brought them together, and the first Catholic as well.
Yeah.
But large part, the power and the art of his words is what made it happen. Now, they all had speech writers, of course, but a lot of that, you know, was from the heart, too.
Well, he had a speech writer for that, and of course, that iconic speech that I used, which is his first inauguration, has become words that are constantly remembered, and they're in history books and everything. And of course, it's great to choose a speech that is so iconic to use that. But I had also a personal connection to Kennedy because he's the first president that I can remember. I was 3 years old when he was assassinated, but I remember the day. I remember the day after my father was reading a newspaper and crying. And I walked in the room. I said, "Dad, why are you crying?" And he says, "Because someone killed the president." Now, I didn't know what a president was, but I knew that there must have been somebody pretty important if my dad was crying about it. So that has stuck with me always.
He's the first president that I ever, and the only one that I've seen live.
Mm.
I was living in Ohio, in a little town, Salem, Ohio, and he was campaigning. Youngstown was a big steel town, big Bob town too, but a big steel town. And he came through and it was a Lincoln. I still remember it was a Lincoln convertible, and he was waving to everyone. Mm. And I still like to think that he looked right at me. I mean, he had that ability to do that. And even though he was, you know, there was a moat, as Matt Wilson would say, there was a moat between me and the actual candidate himself. But he made it much closer.
But that connection must have been very inspiring just in itself, something that you still remember to this day, the feeling that you had from that.
And for former Senator Lieberman, the same kind of connection.
Right.
That
was,
right?
It was very interesting because Joe Lieberman was a teenager at the time that Kennedy made that first inaugural speech. And Senator Lieberman says that speech was the single biggest catalyst for him to choose public service. So what an amazing experience and inspiration that was. And of course, to have him be able to come on here and read these words was it was just like a gift.
And what Ted has done is not only interpreted the words, the powerful words of these speeches, into music based upon the pitch, the rate, but also the response. And listen for it as interpreted by drummer Ali Jackson.
Yeah, at one point I was listening to the speech and there was a huge... huge ovation, a big applause by the audience, and I wrote that into Ali's part. At a point, I have a little break in the horn line, and I said applause, and he played kind of a drum roll to signify that. This was a difficult one because I wanted to put it into a context of a blues. I also wanted to address Kennedy's sort of a little bit of machismo and everything, so I wanted it to have a lot of muscle too. So I've got the trombone section up in their high register, and I try to put it into this context of a blues. So it was challenging because these speeches would never stay in one key. It's not like it's in the key of F. Ah, this speech is in the key of F. But I made a blues in F out of it. So you'll hear some of the pitches are like, But it was a lot of fun, and it was a big challenge.
8 Variations on Freedom, Presidential Suites. We're with Ted Nash.
So let us begin anew. remembering on both sides that civility is not a sign of weakness, and sincerity is always subject to proof. Let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate. Together, let us explore the stars, conquer the deserts, eradicate disease, tap the ocean depths, and encourage the arts and commerce.
Presidential Suite, Ted Nash interpreting great speeches and great moments with the spoken word that can move mountains, just like music can, if you let it.
Well, what I love about music and being a composer, and especially being in the jazz realm, is the amount of freedom that we have to express something. We can do whatever we want at any time. There are no rules.
Whether it's interpreting great painters, great words, the chakra, right?
Yeah, yeah. but like even, for example, at the very end of the JFK piece that we just heard, is I create a sort of a mysterious vibe. I don't know if you can feel that mystery that I created. And that's sort of my personal sort of wink to, you know, who killed JFK, that whole sort of mystery that surrounded his death and everything like that. So maybe people don't hear that when they hear the music, but I know. And it's so great that we can use this music to come up with all these ideas and express ideas and feelings, thoughts.
How long did it take you to do this project?
Well, you know, I spent a few weeks transcribing. That was just sort of like, all right, once I get through this, then I'll get to some other aspects of the creation, but that just in itself took a long time. Then just trying to break down and think about how I'm going to find a context for all this, and I started listening to music from the era, started thinking about the history of these people, where they're from, like Aung San Suu Kyi, she was from Burma originally, Myanmar, and the kind of music that they played and was popular there. I tried to infuse that into the music. And so there was a lot of research. There was a period of research for the speeches. There was research in how I'm going to approach the music. Then once I set out to do it, it's like once you put all these things into place, you hope that it just flows. If you set up everything, then it just flows. And you have to allow it just to come out. You can't block it. You have to just capture whatever it is that you're hearing, whatever it is you're feeling, get it down. And I think the most successful parts of this came very quickly. The stuff that took a long time, sometimes that's you work very hard on something and then you've got to scratch it because it is taking too long. It's not flowing. So.
By the way, we heard Walter Blanding on the tenor and a guy that I heard just a couple of weeks ago with Jimmy Heath, Greg Gispert, yeah, on the trumpet there on Ask Not, one of the... 8 Variations on Freedom. We're chatting with Ted Nash. By the way, Ted Nash Big Band will celebrate this recording live for not one, but 2 nights. That's the word. And it's going to be November 8th and 9th at Jazz Standard in New York City, celebrating the release of Presidential Suite. And we're chatting with Ted Nash. You know, the buy-in is not just yourself. It's not just the people that... that you were able to recruit to read excerpts, but it's musicians themselves. You know, it's like, I need you to go look into this to come up with this. You know, I'm sure like when you're talking about the inauguration of the first black leader of South Africa, Mandela, the research there must have been to really capture the feel for what was going on there, the research had to be.
Yeah, the vibe is so important. Just capturing the spirit of the speaker and what he's dealing with politically, personally, and then also where he is. South Africa, I really wanted to capture a type of music that comes from there that's very much like a reggae beat. So that kind of thing I investigated. I played Ali Jackson and Carlos some different things, and I said, hey, how can we come up with this beat? And Ali started to experiment with different grooves. And so it's great to have these wonderful musicians who were willing to look into and do their own research.
Now, on this particular one, Andrew Young, there's a connection there.
Yeah.
Between Andrew Young and Nelson Mandela, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, Andrew Young was a civil rights leader, and Mandela very much was influenced by a lot of the civil rights activity, and he used a lot of the concepts that were being dealt with civil rights leaders in the States at the time that he came into power. And Andrew Young happens to be the godfather of my producer, Kabir. So that's another wonderful connection, yes, and from Atlanta. And Kabir Segal is my executive producer. It's also a jazz bass player. I first heard him in high school as a bass player, and he went on to have his own career, and he's very much interested in music. But anyway, it just so happens that Andrew Young is his godfather. Another one of those connections.
It just goes around circular, and what goes around comes around.
Yeah.
Ted Nash coming around with us today at WBGO. Presidential Suite is the recording.
To my compatriots, I have no hesitation in saying that each one of us is as intimately attached to the soil of this beautiful country as are the famous jacaranda trees of Pretoria and the mimosa trees of the Bushveld. Each time one of us touches the soil of this land, we feel a sense of personal renewal. The national mood changes as the seasons change. We are moved by a sense of joy and exhilaration when the grass turns green and the flowers bloom. The time for the healing of the wounds has come.
For the healing of the wounds. And that's why it's such a spirited piece of music you've just enjoyed. Put together by Ted Nash, the Ted Nash Big Band, Presidential Suite, 8 variations on freedom. And we've been chatting with Ted about this. You made it seem like it's just like doing a term paper. Like this is, you know, this is anybody could kind of sit down and do this. I thought, what an incredible undertaking.
Thanks. I appreciate that. No, I don't think of it as an accomplishment as much as an opportunity, really. Because for me, just being creative is the high point. The end result of your creativity is something you can share, and I love that. I think that's wonderful. But for me, it's always about the process. And I just trusted that it would become what it needed to become. It could have gone in any direction. It could have been a completely different recording. But this is what it is, and I'm just so happy to be able to share it with people.
It just seems like a natural for a guy that Wynton Marsalis describes, who sits in the wild card chair at the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra with Wynton Marsalis. You've been associated with that group for a long, long time. Right?
I joined the band in late 78, and so it's been 18 years now that I've been touring and performing with the band.
And other than Wynton, I believe yours was the first, your portrait was the first recording of original compositions throughout.
Yeah, Wynton really had a certain vision for the orchestra. In the beginning, it started off a little bit more repertory, dealing with Duke Ellington and stuff. But as he started to use the orchestra to compose his own original music, it took on a new direction. And then he slowly allowed other people to be part of that new direction. And I was lucky to be invited early on to do that.
Carlos Enriquez has also done some incredible stuff there, too.
Beautiful composer. We have 11 arrangers in the band. I've never been in a band. I've been in a zillion big bands. I've never been in a band where we had 11 people who contribute to the repertoire.
Yeah. Well, like Mel Lewis. Were there 11 people contributed to the... Probably not.
No, and he was very encouraging. We had Earl McIntyre. We had Kenny Werner. Ed Neumeister, of course, Bob Rookmeyer when he was leading the band. So people were contributing. Jerry Dodger when he was in the band originally. So people were contributing to the music, but it was never 11 people. I don't think people always thought of composition as a way to identify themselves. A lot of people are just happy to be a sideman or play standard tunes or whatever. But I think as you grow as a jazz musician, you want to create your own environment. And I think composing music is a way to do that.
And we heard one of your early contributions to the world of Louis Belson. How about Jerry Mulligan?
I think a brilliant, brilliant composer and player. I think Walkin' Shoes is one of the greatest big band arrangements I have ever heard. I keep telling people, you got to check this out. And he was great, man. He loved my uncle, too. So he always liked me just because I was my uncle's nephew. He'd be like, yeah, man, your uncle. We used to check him out.
Yeah. And the thing is, Ted, who we're chatting with here today, Ted still plays his uncle's alto.
Mm.
It's in the case. He showed it to me one night. I can't remember where it was, but you and Frank Kimbrough were doing duets. I think it was over in West Orange.
That's
one,
right.
One night. And he said, you know, this is my uncle's horn. Wow!
It's his tenor that he used throughout like the 60s, 70s, maybe 50s. I think he picked it up back then. It's a beautiful horn called Jimmy Dorsey model. And I just feel privileged every time I play it to know it was his.
Yeah. Wow. And your dad, too. I mean, your dad's an outstanding trombone player.
My dad is 88 years old. He goes out three nights a week hearing music. He goes and sits in with cats. We were just out in California about 2 or 3 weeks ago with Jazz Lincoln Center, and he came up on the bandstand and played two songs with us. And that's he lost his leg. He has a prosthetic leg with a computer knee and everything, but he's got his cane. It's not stopping him at all.
Yeah. Yeah, he's still along for the ride. He's still along for the slide.
Yeah. That's it.
Ted Nash, Big Band, Presidential Suite, 8 Variations on Freedom. And this is just a wonderful concept and a wonderful execution of a concept.
No, thank you.
I got to tell you, just amazing stuff. And they're going to do this live for two nights. November the 8th and 9th, Ted Nash Big Band at Jazz Standard.
And I want to also quickly say November 8th is election night, so it's a perfect place to celebrate this music. And then the 9th, of course, is the day we'll be celebrating the results of the election, so either night. But come out, we're going to have such a good time. We're going to have special guests. It's going to be a great couple evenings. So
it's always a gas hanging out with you, man. It just is, because it's always, you always bring good stuff. The cat I saw on the accordion at Dizzy's, is he still around?
Oh,
I came to see the Odeon Band one night, and Matt Wilson, you, and
William Schimmel, Dr. Schimmel, Bill Schimmel, that's my man.
But he's a doctor?
He's a doctor because he has a doctorate in composition.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because he looks like a cat. It plays in the circus band.
I think he did.
I mean, it's just like, you know, he's come directly from a Fellini film.
Oh, yes.
To the Odeon band.
That's him.
And it's just, you know, another great Ted Nash incarnation.
Oh, man. Hey, Gary, thank you so much.
Do you have a favorite of these speeches? I mean, something, not necessarily a favorite, because that means, you know, mom liked you best, but a speech that, upon investigation, really moved you and really moved you to get inside the speech, to get inside with the music.
The two that really get me, one is the LBJ, American Promise. It just gets me every single time. And then, of course, the Mandela speech. It really, really moves me. And Chris Crenshaw, by the way, was the trombonist and singer on that track. And he totally embraced Mandela. He actually even sort of got his vibe with the dialect, with his accent. But it sounds a little spoken word, but it's very, he's doing all the pitches that were in the original speech. But those two particularly move me.
One that probably many of our audience members remember is Reagan's speech in Berlin. Tear down this wall.
It's very powerful. And Reagan was a wonderful speaker. And this is an important speech. It was one that was a little slept on by the media, but then later on people started to refer to it as one of his greatest speeches.
And it was actually controversial within his own ranks.
They didn't want him to do it. They told him, do not do this. Do not say these words. And he was like, you know what? I'm doing what I want to do.
On the way to the show,
yes,
they're saying, don't do this.
That's right.
This is too hard of a concept to be throwing against the wall or over the wall in the direction of Gorbachev.
But ultimately it wasn't. And I think that's our leaders need to really do what they believe and not be puppets. And
how nice.
Yes.
To know that we can have belief in leaders that believe.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for bringing it together with the world of music.
Thank you.
They're both art forms. 8 Variations on Freedom, Presidential Suite from Motema, and From the Mind of Ted Nash and the Big Band live November 8th, Election Day, and November 9th, Jazz Standard in New York City. Part of what's happening here on WBGO Newark.
Today I say, as long as this gate is closed, as long as this scar of a wall is permitted to stand, it is not the German question alone that remains open, but the question of freedom for all mankind. Yet I do not come here to lament, for I find in Berlin...